Hi everyone, welcome to Flashpoint's Hacks Australia coverage. This is going to be a very patchy little piece of work, but we wanted to start with something that's causing a lot of laughter and amusement, and that's the Xbox One stand, which at early times on the Friday morning, and we've tweeted the picture, it shows a beautiful Xbox One backdrop with a blank display case. Simon, what's your take? Should we get excited here?
I'm very excited, David. This is the real Xbox revealed at last by Microsoft. It's the essence of Xbox One.
It is gold. So we'll be back. I said this will be one of many snippets we'll put in this episode of the podcast. We're still trying to find Christy, which is why you're not hearing from her yet. All right, now's a perfect time. We're standing in front of the Just Dance 2014 booth. And Simon quite rightly mentioned that this goes out to you, Ed. We can just pitch you on that.
It's Ubisoft, baby. Ubisoft.
Yay!
Okay, we're back and we've found Christy. I apologise for the background noise, but the place is actually going off quite a bit, as you'd expect, even though it's a Friday. So, most importantly, we found Christy. Hello, Christy.
Hello.
And Simon and I have just spent some time with the Oculus Rift, but we'll talk more about that when we're back in the Flashpoint studio. But highlights so far, all of 2 hours in, Simon.
Just how crazy League of Legends is. These people are absolutely high on something, and I want it.
And also, Simon's nailed down anything Minecraft. He's loving it. And it is interesting, or not surprising, though, that Minecraft is a very dominant theme, particularly amongst the merchandise. Christy, you went to the keynote. Thoughts?
It was very, very, very good. If you have any sort of creative thing with running game development, anything like that, you should have been there.
So it sucks to be you if you weren't. Now, this will probably be the last snippet because the background noise is horrific and we'll definitely be talking lots more in this episode. Back to you in the studio, David.
From the deepest darkness of Droman Cost to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa to the brightest light that shine on Tython, this is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, it's episode 61 of Flashpoint. We're all a bit down because it's, well for me it's 3 days after PAX for my two wonderful co-hosts, well Christy in particular, it's less. But first I'll say hello. Christy, how are you?
I am well, although my throat feels like I've been swallowing fire, so I'm hoping I'm turning into a dragon.
Nice.
Fingers crossed.
So we'll talk more in a minute, but Christy literally was off a plane this morning and was at PAX the whole 3 days.
This afternoon.
This afternoon, there you go.
Like 5 hours ago.
So that's dedication. And Simon, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I was only there one day, yeah. So I have not got nerd flu like someone else seems to have.
It was a high risk of catching it, I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It was, old men like us enjoyed it a lot, but yeah. It was interesting. So we're going to have a bit of a different format this episode. So think of it as a bit of a special edition. So we'll talk PAX for the first part of the show, and then we'll do some brief Star Wars The Old Republic stuff, a little bit about Guild Wars 2 and anything else that pops into our head before the end of the show. So PAX, and as you will have already heard before I signed in tonight, I've put some snippets from when we're actually at the show. The first thing you'll notice is that it was rather busy, as you'd expect. So let's start with you, Simon. What was your take on, do the PAX organisers have a hit on their hands?
Yes. Unreservedly, yes. I think that was pretty clear as we were queuing with, what, 2, 3, 4, 10,000 other people in the queue hall.
Yeah. How many? Yeah, there would have been a solid 2,000 or 3,000 there.
I heard overall it was 35,000.
The overall for the overall, 3 days?
Overall, yeah. So I don't know if that's like 3 day passes were counted as one or if they just, you know, generally think it's 10,000 and a bit each day. But yeah, I heard 35,000.
I think 35,000 was the daily tickets allotment. Although they've been a bit quiet. So you would have counted three times, effectively.
Oh, two times. Sad day I relaxed. Oh, that's right. You were there 2 days.
Yes, yeah. Right. Yeah. But anyway, it was a lot of people.
Yeah, it was crowded. And probably as far as venue, I don't think they could have picked a much bigger place as far as the Melbourne showgrounds, although they were far from utilising all of the showgrounds. And I think if they go back there next year, they'll use a lot more of it. But it was huge. So any doubts the PAX organisers had about an Australian edition should have been well and truly put to bed. And linked to that is the exhibition floor. So we'll talk about that in some detail. But the thing that stood out for me initially was that some of the big guys weren't there. Christy, starting with you, who were the big standouts that weren't there?
Oh, gosh, like everyone?
Yeah. I mean, the one that stood out for me was Blizzard from an MMO viewpoint.
Blizzard tends to like to keep to its own con anyway. Yeah. Although my boss for my other job is a humongous EVE Online player, and he said he heard somewhere about there being a CCP booth or CCP were going to be there. So he was like, you know, sure, you can have 3 days off work, but you're going to have to bring me back something. So, yeah. Sorry, Damien, there's nothing for me to give you. Please don't fire me. But I would have loved to seen some big developers, big publishers, and I would like to see some big merchandise people too.
Yeah.
Like your T-shirt places, you know, T-Turtle and all those who do, and We Love Fine who do all those geeky awesome shirts, and Think Geek who pretty much supply, you know, 50% of everything within my house. So I would love to have seen them, and although my wallet wouldn't have. Oh. My suitcase was fine. It was only half full, so I could have brought home half of the Think Geek booth, but yeah.
Yeah, you do. I mean, yeah, there were lots, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sony Entertainment weren't there in any?
Not that I saw at all. I didn't see Sony. Razer had a tiny, like, Razer, Intel, SteelSeries, trying to think, like, the hardware people had little booths because I had a bit of a geek-gasm over at theirs. But, yeah, I would have loved to have seen more games.
Yeah, so, I mean, this isn't in any way criticism of PAX in that I can imagine that they invited everyone not nailed down, but it would have been more these big guys saying, oh, it's a new thing, I'll wait and see. And I'd say a lot of these guys will be there next year because they no longer need to wait and see. It's a success.
I hope so. It's just, I don't know, because, you know, Australia's not cheap and flying all the way out here, putting people up, because apparently the Riot guys didn't actually book enough rooms for them. So the Riot guys were apparently going from hotel to hotel, or some guys looking for a room. So, good organisation on their part. I mean, they took up, you know, half the expo hall, so they did well there, but yeah.
Simon, exhibition floor highlights for you?
Well, on a purely ironic basis, I would have to say that obviously Microsoft's Xbox One booth was just was kind of sad but humorous. And I wasn't the only one that thought so clearly, because I'd spent some time throughout the day just ducking back just to see all the people wandering by, staring at it in disbelief, laughing and taking pictures of the woefully empty booth, although it was upgraded.
Yes.
They put a little sign in the empty display case at one point saying that basically they were going to have something in there for 2 hours per day, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I've done my post-production correctly when you're listening to this, you will have heard a little sound snippet of Simon's and my amusement at coming across the blank display case. So, yeah.
Yep.
On Sunday, they took away the display case, so it just had a blank podium.
I'd love to know who their PR people. I mean, Twitter was full of, including me, people slagging the crap out of them for what a ridiculous, like, why couldn't you have at least had some, I don't know, promo shots or other information about Xbox games? Or there's so much they could have done.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, from what I've gathered through hearing things on the grapevine and stuff, the reason why they didn't have the console in the box at the whole time was because they only had one, and they only had three controllers within all of Australia. So obviously Microsoft, or maybe even Microsoft headquarters, have gone to Microsoft Australia and said, do something, but we're not going to give you anything. Or yeah. Microsoft Australia said, hey, we're going to do this, and headquarters has gone, all right, go ahead. But, I mean, they could have put up screens, and well, we saw in their announcement panel thingamajiggy that they do actually have videos and stuff like that. They could have put something. Just had one of your interns or something just standing there and, I don't know, trying to sound smart. Yeah. I mean, anything but an empty box.
Yes. So the true highlights then for you, Simon, is on the exhibition floor?
Well, I've got to admit, although I don't really have much interest in League of Legends, I was completely blown out of the water by the size of their presence and just the sheer level of the crowd it drew and the enthusiasm. I mean, good God, that enormous wodge of people in that enormous booth just set the whole expo hall alight, really.
They did.
It was very energizing. So that was awesome. World of Tanks and their tank and the goddamn big truck that it came on top of. That was, I mean, their stand was probably about the same size.
But
the play area was just a more kind of tucked away onto that two-level structure they had. But yeah, no, that was great. And the sheer size of the ANZ Indie Pavilion, I thought that was phenomenal. Just the exposure that so many indie game developers are getting, because granted, a lot of this stuff is for iPad, but you can bet it's going to make its way onto Steam and a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
So PC players and console players are going to get to see these things. I mean, think of things like Bastion or games of that ilk.
There was some really nice stuff there, and the trouble again with the crowds, and you can't avoid them, is we didn't get a lot of time to actually play with stuff, but from what we saw, it looked juicy. On the League of Legends and World of Tanks, I too was surprised at the size of their presence, and I suppose we shouldn't have been, in that, unless I'm mistaken, League of Legends is the biggest MMO in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure World of Tanks is second, and if it's not second, it's definitely top three.
If it's not, it's getting there pretty damn quick.
So, and I suppose particularly League of Legends, and again, this is off the top of my head, has a very heavy player base out of Asia and Southeast Asia, doesn't it? So, again, I suppose
it's
a little bit yep, cheaper for them to get some stuff. But yeah, kudos to those guys. As you said, they had very dynamic and impressive, and I said a real tank, and lots of staff dressed up in army uniforms and so on.
Oh, is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah.
Well, we could call it military booth babes in military fetish wear. We could also call it that, although we won't.
With the booth babes, they were told off. So the weekend they were wearing little jackets, so the boobies were more covered, and they were wearing stockings, black stockings under their red dresses.
Oh. So I wonder what led to that. Weekend being what more of a go for it.
Oh, yes. See, I've got an inside scoop. But what happened was that according to PAX, because they have a no booth babe law, it's a little bit complicated now, but we'll just say no booth babes. And what they do is they have to submit to PAX what they're going to be wearing. So what World of Tanks submitted to PAX was completely different to what the girls showed up wearing. So, yeah, they obviously were talked to about it, and they had to have a quick wardrobe change, just like the other booth with the sexy cops. They were wearing their shirts fully buttoned up. Although one thing I got to say, the water tank girls looked actually, I reckon they looked better with the stockings. Definitely less, you know, sort of, hey, look at me, but definitely more like, you know, sort of the woman you'd go talk to at the bar and, you know, buy a drink for and hopefully get a date from versus the woman that you'd walk past on the street thinking, oh, God, there's a hooker. But the police women, unfortunately, you can't turn a sexy cop uniform into a cop uniform. No. So they actually looked worse, and I think they should have just gone home and put, like, I don't know, some probably something much more nicer that I'm sure all the girls had in their wardrobe.
So, real female cop uniforms have got at least 4 meters of unnecessary fabric just to make them look dumpy.
That's right.
So, yeah, the booth babes were a lot of people were shocked by it, actually. I've been looking at feedback things everywhere, and those two booths have been mentioned multiple times. So, anything they were trying to get away with, obviously they haven't. And if you're listening to this and you're worried about booth babes in the future at PAXs, then I think you're pretty much reassured that they are going to keep with their no booth babe rule.
In all honesty, it's kind of consistent with Saints Row 4 and Rome game. If you wanted to go and play either of those games, you had to, unsurprisingly, queue for a long time. But one of the reasons you had to queue is because they were both under immensely heavy black curtains.
Yes.
So obviously they could only let a few people in at a time. You couldn't just sort of all stand around and watch, all because of the R18 thing, which wasn't exactly one of the benefits of R18 that I was looking forward to, quite frankly. But there we go.
I was kind of hoping it would be, you know, like when we went to the PC area and you had to show your band.
Yeah.
Like if they had a section, like in curtained off, like the R18 section. So you just showed your band, you walked in, and so you'd still obviously have to queue to play the game. But I know one of my friends was very frustrated because he queued for 40 minutes or so, and he only played Saints Row for 5 minutes. He said he barely had a chance. Like, he didn't even get to have a look at all the weapons. You know, it was pretty much he came in, looked at the screen, and then told to go away. So, but yeah. Considering how long the line was, I mean, if they probably gave them any more than 5 minutes, then they would probably be running out of time.
So yeah. before we talk about further highlights in that area from you, Christy, let's talk about queues briefly. The fact is, and all these expos have this issue, is queues were terrible in some respects, but I'd argue PAX was one of the better queuing experiences I had, although I only went for one day. Probably the key queues that they can reduce in future is, and Simon will vouch for this, is the ATM queue.
Yeah, or just be, we could just be more organized and actually go with more cash. Yeah, take cash and take a packed lunch. Unless you want jam donuts for lunch.
Only jam donuts for lunch.
The ATM queue was a lot more survivable, but they actually had put tape down, so you had like a little snakey queue. I think they didn't realize, I don't know if Americans snake when they queue naturally, but Aussies, we don't know how to snake. You know, we just go to the shortest bit of the queue, which, especially in the queue room, how they had it split up into four lines. Everyone just went to the shortest queue, not realizing that it's Q1, Q2, Q3. So, the ATMs then have little snaky ones. But I went to the ATM on Sunday, and I only had to queue for about six people. And I was having a lovely chat to the girl behind me, who ended up actually being a friend of a friend of a friend. So it was very – it's a small world.
Yeah. Well, I've got to pay homage to the jam donuts briefly. So Simon and I lined up for was it nearly 40 minutes? Half an hour anyway to get to the
ATM. Yeah, at least half an hour.
To get to the ATM, and by the time we'd done that, lunch was well and truly underway, and all the proper food tents had a further 30 or 40 minute queues, and the only tent that didn't was the jam donut tent. So Simon and I proceeded to have jam donuts for lunch, hence the title of this episode, which is about the queues and the donuts.
They were very good jam donuts, though.
They were. They were vegan. Vegan jam donuts.
Vegan jam donuts.
I love that. Oh, that's funny. All right.
They did increase the food trucks as well.
Yeah, good. So, I think they've learned, as far as queue, I think they've learned a lot from this year, and I think things will be even more smooth next year. There were definitely issues with queues, and we'll talk about panels in a minute, was where the biggest queue issues, from what I gather, occurred. But let's just stick with Exhibition Hall for a minute. So, Christy, aside from what Simon's covered, any other highlights for you?
Oh, I enjoyed the Moga, which is a little controller pad you connect to your Android phone. The controller feels a bit like an Xbox controller mixed in with a PlayStation. So it has the sleekness of the PlayStation, but it feels comfortable like an Xbox controller. And so it's really nice. Like if you're one of those people that don't want to carry around a DS or whatever that Sony one is called, you want to turn your phone into a controller, but you want to actually have, your phone into games, but you want to be holding a controller, then it's really, really cool. It connects via Bluetooth, so, you know, there shouldn't be any trouble since nowadays. I know, like, what was it, 8 years ago or something like that when you had Bluetooth and you took forever to partner to anything? So it's clunky. That's the only thing, like, for us girls, it's all right. We carry around bags. So, I always have my 3DS in my bag and my wallet and my phone and my Kindle and, you know. But boys, of course, they put their phone in their pocket. So it doesn't have quite the portability, I guess you would say. And again, if you're not going to put that into your pocket, then you're not putting a 3DS into your pocket either. I tried to win one and I didn't. So I don't like you guys, but you have a really cool thing. What else was there? Did I mention the hardware?
Yeah. And then we'll talk about the Rift separately, so that's fine. No, that's good.
So the Intel and Alienware had a massive booth, massive. And it was very pretty like Alienware is, but I couldn't help but think it's Alienware.
Yeah.
Like, overpriced.
It's overpriced and underpowered. So I went and looked at the other things and I looked at the new graphics card and suddenly my Titan was, maybe my Titan's a little, I don't know. But I love hardware, so I can stare at that forever. And, the Joust. Did you guys get to play Joust?
No, we saw a round of it.
Okay. Yeah, because Just is one of my friends who's also an enforcer at PAX. Is baby, he loves it. And what it is it's 7 PlayStation motion controllers, so those weird wands with the ball on the end. And the idea is that they play music, and when the music goes fast, you can move fast. When the music goes slow, you can only move slow. If you move too fast, you knock yourself out. And the deal is that you need to either hit the other person's remote or push them so that they move enough that the remote goes, nah, you're out. And apparently it was interesting. A lot of people loved it. And I think every time there was a crowd around it, there was nobody being bored. And it was good because it was one of those games where there wasn't a queue. If you wanted to play, you just shoved your hand up and it was pretty much a round or two later that you got to go. From what my friend, though, was saying, it got a little violent sometimes. They actually had to create more and more rules as it went along. Apparently, I heard stories that one person kicked his shoe off into his friend's, soft, pudgy, ouchy man area. And so after that, they had a no kicking off your shoes at other people's. my friend got hit in the face. And one of her badges broken. Badges are very important at PAX. You got to have your badges. But, yeah, she was coming up behind a guy and I think he got startled. I don't think he meant it at all. And he swung around and hit her in the face. And he had the balls go up, though, and apologise to her afterwards while she was standing with her 3 massive male friends. So kudos to him.
Yes.
there was the laser tag. Did you see that?
Yeah.
The back of the expo hall. That one was really fun to watch because you're watching essentially, not to insult anyone here, but a bunch of nerds who play way too much Battlefield and think they're in a movie when they're playing it. So you either had the people kind of like going, what do I do? I'm not used to moving with this thing, you know. And then you had the other people who totally went the full Rambo.
They could do combat roles.
Yeah, exactly. I wish they did do some combat roles. But, yeah, there was the ducking behind things and the aiming. You know, and you're like, dude, it's laser tag. But, I mean, they were...
I was just going to say the really neat thing about that was all of the obstacles and bases and cover and so forth. It's all inflatable, so basically it looked like your workplace could rent it out and just have it set up in your company's car park or something like that. And I've not seen that before, and that just seemed awesome.
Yeah, agreed.
It did. It seemed very, very awesome.
Okay, so there's Christy's highlights. I
don't
have a
choose for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that too. Not a lot of extras from me. I just wanted to say, as far as hardware, one that I was very underwhelmed with was the Skullcandy headphone booth, where I tried on a pair of these headphones where, you know, you can obviously get the vibrations happening in the bass and all that, and I thought they sucked just from a sound quality viewpoint. So you were talking before about overpriced and underperformed. I think that stuff, and I'm sure there are exceptions, but if you're thinking of spending that amount of money on headphones, have a look at AKG or Sennheiser or a few of the other options.
Yep, or Astro. Astro do decent gaming headsets.
Maybe they're applying for the market. You know, the ones where I'll say young people, because I'm pretty sure I did it too when I was 17 years old, that put the humongous boombox in the back of their car and it's rattling the car so badly that it sounds terrible. But when you're like the 17-year-old who owns that car, you think it's totally rocking.
That's right.
So maybe that's their market.
It is. It's the Skullcandy are going for exactly the same market that Beats by Dr. Dre. Oh my God, I think I'm about to throw it just having said that. that brand is going for, basically, if you go into a JB Hi-Fi and you see an array of headphones and they've got a mirror in the center of the display so you can see how cool you look wearing them, that's headphones for wankers.
Yes.
If you own any Beats or Skullcandy, guys, sorry, but you really need to try some real headphones. Unless you're just trying to look like one of the kids.
That's right.
And if you're trying to look like one of the kids, you're just looking kind of sad. So there we go. That's the way things are.
Yes. So speaketh me. Yeah, so speaketh the old people, but
yes,
I agree.
So speaketh me.
So hey,
Stop calling us old people.
Oh yeah, well it's all comparative, isn't it? We're young.
Yeah.
Aren't we all old people?
We are in our heads. So
I was told I looked extremely young, so I'm happy.
And so and I'm going to segue as far as my highlight into something I wanted to talk about separately, and that was the Oculus Rift. So all three of us had an opportunity to try out this beast. Now, I'm assuming everyone listening is aware of the Oculus Rift, but just in case you're not, it is what is likely to be the most successful consumer level virtual reality headset, funded. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, guys. It was originally funded by Kickstarter, wasn't it?
Yep, yes,
and
it was.
And then you had the John Carmacks and that of the world get involved. I'm right. See,
yep.
I'm actually remembering some stuff here.
Yeah,
and it's very close to. I believe it's very close to release. Now, Christy got to try the better of the two headsets. So there is a standard definition one, and then there is the 1080 HD one. And it's a quite a comfortable set of goggles, essentially, with a rubbery sort of strap that goes over your head. And I think everyone agreed that they weren't uncomfortable at all. And
mine was a little weird.
Yeah.
Because I've got a small head, so I have trouble with hats. And sort of when he first put it on me, it kind of like it kept sort of sliding up. So he had to put it on really, really tight. But it felt weird for like only 2 seconds, and then I got used to it. But I mean, I think it's just me because I've got a weird head.
Yeah.
And if you have trouble with hats, you might have a trouble with this one.
Yeah. So I mean, but once you've got it on and you've got these set of goggles that you use to stare at not staring at the screen, because the input is actually going straight into the goggles, and you have, well, it's not a 360. From memory, it's 140 degrees, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it's 140 degrees is the range of the angle of view with the... Anyone
mine did 360.
Well,
you can turn around and look 360, but what I'm getting at is you can't, from where you're looking, you can't see 360. My understanding is that if you move your eyes from the very left to the very right, you've got about 140 degrees
Right, your field of view.
Yeah, about that, I'd say. Right. Yeah,
your field of view, that's the right term. But yes, absolutely, it's 360 and that all of us, and so I'll talk first because, Chris, you had the better experience, but we'll talk first about Simon and I tried out on the, was it called Virtual Insanity Booth?
Yes.
And I still don't understand what they do, but I must check out their website. But anyway, they were demoing three or four games. One was a roller coaster sort of one. There was a helicopter sim, which we tried out. And then there was Team Fortress 2 was set up on a computer as well. So we got the helicopter sim. And Simon, describe how it was for you.
Well, the first thing I noticed, I suppose, was that it's quite low res. It's like sitting a couple of feet away from the TV or your monitor. You can actually see the pixels, but I overlooked that pretty immediately because I know the version they'll be going to market with is going to be 1080p, which Christy got to try. And it doesn't really matter anyway, because you just get drawn into the world because you start looking around. There's no lag. There's no delay at all. It's immediate. You turn your head and it's just like you are there in pixel land. And the helicopter sim we were in, it didn't really matter. You got to see the island rushing away underneath you. You could look down at your lap. You could see your hand with the control stick. You could look right to your left, right to your right. I mean, I was just thinking, if only SWTOR could incorporate this for space combat, because I would go freaking nuts.
Oh, yeah.
It would be fantastic. Or maybe Disney, if you listen, and of course you're not, TIE Fighter, redo TIE Fighter for the Oculus Rift, please. That would be great. But yeah, anyway, long story short, very comfortable, surprisingly small, light, and utterly immersive. It was, I'll get one. I don't doubt that. I will get one.
This thing is going to sell millions. I don't think they've announced a retail price yet, but it's going to be around the $300 mark, give or take. And there'll be a lot of people that just will not hesitate, particularly the HD version. I don't see why you'd buy the non-HD version. Before I get on to you, Christy, the other obvious thing, when you said in the helicopter you could look down and see your lap and your hands, where I'm really excited is combining the Oculus Rift with the Leap Motion, where you can see your hands move. The combination of those two things would totally nail the immersiveness. So particularly with not so much the helicopter one, because all you'd be doing is watching your hands move the joystick, but other games where your hands play a role in the game, that'll blow people away. And then if you combine the Omni with it...
Yeah.
Where, and for those unaware, just Google, I don't know what the right search term would be, but Omni Game Rig will probably get it to you. And watch a demo video on YouTube or something of the Omni where you can walk and it's with the Oculus Rift on and walk 360, turn, bend down and all that, and that's reflected in the game. Add that with the Leap Motion, the Oculus Rift, and you've got a true immersive experience. So, Christy, 1080 HD. What did you do on it? What was the demo?
So mine was with the actual Oculus guys, not with any developers. So the point of my demonstration was pretty much to show you off the hardware. So they took us. They had various 3D rooms. I think about four or five in total, and they pretty much. Show different things within those rooms to show off the technology. There was one room where it was snowing, and if you looked up, it actually felt like it was snowing on you. And just to talk about how you were saying about the immersion, because obviously snow falling, hadn't seen snow before, I involuntarily reached up to grab the snow, and then it pulled me out because I was like, oh, my arm's not there. I can't see my hand. And it's like, oh, it's not real. So mine was really funny because we were all in this tiny little room and behind the joust. So it was all walled off and they only let about five or six people into this room at one time. And then they had two stations going where you actually got to try it out with an actual developer and you got to talk and ask questions and things like that when it happened. So they weren't expecting it to be so popular. I think they were mainly hoping that developers would come, like people who actually want to make games for it, and instead they got everyone else. So they were pretty overwhelmed by how popular the game was.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing was, their little show. And yeah, it was funny because we were sitting on these little couches, like while other people were going ahead of us. And you're seeing them looking around and you know, you're seeing them like the developers were saying, you know, try looking behind you and all that sort of stuff. And it was really funny because they would be like looking directly at you, but obviously not seeing you.
I must admit, when we were in line, someone was looking around and I sort of waved at them and then realized you're an idiot. They can't see you.
I did that too. So does it make us both idiots?
Yeah.
But this guy was like staring straight at me, like you know, if he didn't have the goggles on, it was definitely would have been like eye to eye contact. And I'm like, hello, and just yeah, totally. You pretty much, even though you're in this room and you're surrounded by noise, especially League of Legends and all that filtering through. I mean, when you've got the goggles on, even though you didn't have speakers or anything on that, you just got so pulled into it. People I spoke to reckon they experienced lag, a little lag, like when you moved really fast, it took a little bit to catch up. But maybe I just don't move that fast or not, because I didn't notice sort of any difference. Or if I did notice any difference, my brain was subconsciously fixing it for me, so I wasn't consciously noticing any difference. There was a room with there was this lava room, and there was like this big fiery king guy staring at you, and he like stands up, and the developer has an Xbox controller behind you, and he was like shooting like balls, like laser balls. So it was, I think it's meant to be like that. It was you shooting it, and wherever you looked, like that would be where the ball would go, and then it would like bounce off the walls. And if you looked somewhere else, it would bounce off that wall. So it was following where you were looking.
Okay,
but yeah, environment wise, it really pulls you in. And I'm somebody who doesn't like 3D. I think 3D movies are boring and lame, but I think that's more because my first 3D experience was at Euro Disney, where it was a ride, but essentially a show called Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. And so it was made to be 3D for you. So, you know, it really was like he's talking to you and reaching down to grab you and stuff like that, instead of like a normal 3D movie where they might pop something out for fun and giggles. So this is, yeah, this had that same immersive feel where it's just for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said before, it was a little weird when I first put it on, and he sort of said, move it up and down a little till it gets into focus. And then you just immediately forgot that it was there. And, I think I spent the whole time laughing. The guy was like, I'm so sorry, but we're going to have to move on to the next person. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Whether or not I would actually get one, I loved it, and I had wonderful experience with it, and I think I could have sat there for an hour or two or three or four, even though, you know, you just stand in a room. Like, there was no movement or anything like that. It was just to show off these different environments to you. But, yeah, I don't know if I'd have one, because I don't like being that immersed when I play games. Like, I like to watch things and do things. I like to know what's going on around me. I like to know where my cat is, even if he's just sleeping on my footstool. Yeah. You know,
there's definitely that aspect of it. I think it won't be something that a casual gamer will use all the time. And you're right, there'll be times where you want to allocate an hour or 2 hours to using it, and then there'll be plenty of other times you won't want to use it. And it'll be very game-driven. So for me, if I had, say, The Secret World compatible with the Rift with headphones on, which is what they did with our demo, and I'm sure it was the same with yours.
Yes.
There's no way I'm not using a Rift every time I play The Secret World, but I would have to set aside time, exactly what you said, where you know that, you know, you're not going to have to worry about what else is going on around you.
I don't understand something you said, Christy. What do you mean playing games and knowing what's going on around you? How does that work? Who does that?
It's because I'm a girl and I can multitask.
No. You can just do several things badly at the same time. It doesn't mean you can do lots of things as well as you could if you were just doing one thing. There's a difference.
I used to laugh because I used to have my desk set up with with my ex when we still lived together, and he would be playing a game and he would be just boomph. I would be screaming at him and he wouldn't know. And I would be the one who's saying, "Oi, your mobile's ringing, go answer it," or something like that. And here I am. People are like, "What do you listen to when you play StarCraft 2? And I'm like, "I watch TV shows and movies and browse the internet." And they're like, "You do that while playing StarCraft?" So, I must admit, though, games like there is very few games, and The Secret World is one of them, where I will turn the music up loud. Yeah. I will, you know, and I don't watch anything. I just, yes.
It's got the atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. Like playing Rift, as much as I enjoy Rift, I don't get that sort of dunk into it.
No.
That being said, though, I think if I played The Secret World with the Oculus and that sort of immersion, I'd probably freak myself out.
Oh, yeah, I think you could scare yourself out of yourself for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be like I had to keep a few spare trousers. Oh, I'd be like Morpheus again. Oh,
yes.
I had to play that game with my eyes closed.
So, yeah, I mean, it is immersive. So I think it's going to be a high success. Just one other thing for those of you listening that suffer from motion sickness, and this was my concern before demoing it, I had no issues with motion sickness in the helicopter sim, but I was, when I thought I was going to be offered the roller coaster one, I was going to ask that I not be put on that because, and having used it now, if with the right sort of game, I could see you could easily vomit in your mask. But for the average game, I don't think it's a big issue, even for someone that's susceptible to motion sickness.
And, yeah, anyone who has lazy eyes or things like that in which they can't see 3D, then unfortunately I don't think it's going to work because it's two separate cameras. So, yeah, you need to have both eyes working, unfortunately.
Yeah. So there you go. Big thumbs up, though, for the Rift. You're going to be hearing endlessly about that in the media over the coming 6 months. So we're going to wrap up PAX here pretty soon, but panels, any particular, aside from the endless queues for panels and people missing out on panels because of queues, quick one, starting with you, Simon, any panels you got to on that day that you liked?
I only actually managed to get into one.
That's one more than me.
Well, that is true, yes. I managed to get into the BioWare one because Cadmus did ask. Me too, and I think I may have actually got in there accidentally. I mean, I did intend to, I was wanting to go for it, but I thought I was actually queuing for the event before that. But as it turned out, it nearly 2 hours later, it turned out to be the queue for BioWare.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was nearly 2 hours later meant I got in I think the third back row. So God only knows how long the people ahead of me have been waiting.
Yeah.
Wow, was that in the main?
That was in the drop bear.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, well worth going to. I'm just bringing up the names here. So obviously they were from the Vancouver studio. We knew that, not Austin.
No.
So, if one thing was made pretty clear, it was that PR wouldn't let them talk about a lot of stuff. about the games they're working on. Surprising. And also that they really don't know what the other studios are doing.
No.
Apart from any more than probably we do to a great extent. But we had one of the a producer there, Cameron Lee, who's an ex-Aussie, ex-Melbourneite, so he got a free holiday home, basically, apart from sitting in panels. So that was cute. But, he was quite inspiring. It's pretty much gave us an idea of how he got into the business. And basically, it was he wanted to do the job. He wanted to get involved, and he didn't let anything stop him. Not that he trod on people to do it, but he just took every opportunity he could, sacrificed, and now is a producer at BioWare and in Vancouver and seems to be very happy.
Mm-hmm.
It
does happen then.
Yes, it does. Edmonton. Edmonton, not Vancouver. It's the Edmonton one. Beg pardon. Also, there were a couple of one of the writers, a senior writer, Patrick Weeks, and his wife, Karen, who's a lead editor. And that's kind of interesting because basically anything he writes, she gets to correct. So that's an interesting dynamic for a marriage, I would have thought. And Evil Chris, who's that's Chris Priestley, who's part of the community team, and he was also there to leap across the desk and throttle anyone who said anything they weren't supposed to. But the games that they were specifically talking about, and the ones they've specifically worked on, Mass Effect 3 and Dragon Age. So obviously there was some noise about Dragon Age 2 and just how it was different to some of the fundamentals were different and how it wasn't as well received as the original Dragon Age Origins was, and what they're looking at doing with Dragon Age Inquisition. And I played Origins and I thoroughly enjoyed that. Didn't really look at Dragon Age 2, I have to admit. Although I heard the combat was a lot more fluid, but there were other things that were considered to be, well, not as good. But from the sound of it, and certainly from the trailer they showed us that was originally shown at E3, it looks pretty damn impressive. And Morrigan's back, voiced by Claudia Black, of course, another Aussie who's doing very well in the VO world these days.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Oh, she is awesome, and she's looking even more awesome. The thing that really blew me away was I was watching the trailer and, you know, dragons roar and all that sort of, you know, all the liquidize your brain with the subwoofer kind of thing. And we'll talk about Xbox later. Who sort of did that and times a million. But at the end of that, they just said, in case you didn't already know, that was all in game, and that it was just I was floored. It looked like pre-rendered. So
nice.
So yeah, Dragon Age Inquisition. I don't know. I keep having trouble with the word Inquisition. I keep wanting to say Inception. Looks like it's going to be pretty damn awesome. Also, if anyone's wondering, the Inquisition is your Inquisition. It's not part of the Chantry, so that it will be what you choose to make it. So I've got to admit, kind of excited about that. The other interesting things that they were talking about, particularly Mr. Weeks, was there was quite an extensive Q&A, some of which attempted to hit on whether there'd be another KOTOR or anything to do with Star Wars. And basically, they said, look, we have no idea. It's entirely possible, just like there might be a sequel to Jade Empire. But we've heard nothing. It's not really, they're not IPs that they're involved with, so they don't get the skinny on.
Yeah.
Only that sort of thing. So they are very much discreet operations. But what I did think was interesting, and sort of, I think, I thought gave a bit of insight into how BioWare Austin probably it feels to be on the inside of that, was the amount of flack they got for the end of Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
As the PR, as Evil Chris said, the trouble with the internet is what you end up with is an unhappy but very loud minority who go on a rant about these things, and then you get trolls and other griefers who think, hey, look, this looks like fun. This is something I can go completely nuts and have fun ripping into someone, and then they sort of drift off, and then the people that are left, the few that are left are the genuinely unhappy, loud ones. And I thought, well, that's actually probably quite true, because a lot of us probably don't track a lot of these kind of internet conflagrations for very long. We don't see them right through. We know that there was a big hullabaloo about this, that, or the other, but we're not tracking it for the long term to really get a clear idea of what's going on. But yeah, it's like they said, no one produces a game that they, unless of course it's, he didn't say this, but there's no way you could have produced Aliens versus Colonial Marines without realizing that the ship was going to fly on release day. But that was definitely not the case with Mass Effect. No one produces a game that they intentionally produces a bad game. And they really thought that that was the right approach, although they did acknowledge that perhaps some things weren't clarified sufficiently, which was why they did the extended version. And certain publishing companies who will not be named but may possibly have two vowels as their acronym did float the idea of the extended version being charged DLC. But that was very, very firmly mooted by BioWare itself, because that they acknowledged we've made a mistake, we've not been clear enough. Perhaps we've been too close to this particular canvas to really take a step back and see the full thing. There's no way we can, in good conscience, charge for something like this. So that was I thought that was good. The fact that you actually do float the idea of charging and then knock it back, I think, says more for them than it never even occurring to them.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, very interesting. The overall tone of the entire thing was incredibly warm. The people that were there, it wasn't full of sycophants. There were people who were honest about what they had liked and what they didn't like. But the panelists were great. It was worth queuing for, because they were funny, they were insightful, even though there was a bunch of stuff they couldn't talk about. And I left feeling very, very positive about BioWare as a company, because I'm sure that what goes on in Edmonton has got to be reflective of the other parts of BioWare. And so, funnily enough, I left that entire panel feeling better about Austin, because it's easy to be cynical when you're continually staring at the shortfalls of the game, and it's easy to forget probably how much work they're putting in to just try to get things fixed and everything working and still keep up the new content.
If I'd done the adequate level of preparation with this podcast, that would have been a perfect segue into Star Wars The Old Republic news. But Christy, what was your highlight of the panel?
Well, I pretty much suffered from everyone else suffered from. I rocked up to panels half an hour early just to be told, nope, fool. I logged up an hour early. I even tried to get to the BioWare signing on Sunday, only to be told, nah, you're not going to be able to go talk to the boys. So I was like, so frustrated. So besides the Xbox One, which I'm sure Simon and I will get into later, I really only saw the keynote with Ron Gilbert. For those who don't know who he is, where have you been living all these years? But he's the one who made Manic Mansion and Monkey Island, and he's worked with LucasArts. He's worked with Steven Spielberg. I mean, you've definitely probably played a game which he's had a hand in making. And it was brilliant speech. It was very, maybe not, I would say, empowering, but definitely motivating. He brought up some really, really good advice. The biggest one that stuck to me was that you should believe in your ideas enough that you would dance naked on top of them. So, yeah, I sort of, like, after he said that, I'm sort of thinking, have I ever had an idea in which I would dance naked on top of?
I might have in a dark room, but I'm not sure in front of an audience.
But essentially, it's saying that you should believe in an idea so much that you do it for yourself, not for other people. You don't care what other people think. You believe in it that much that you will be, you know, you expose yourself completely. Still don't know if I do that. Well, I guess I write opinion articles. But, and he also talked about things that he started off with his past, sort of how he got into things, and I was surprised because his past was very similar to my own, although granted there was quite a few years in between us. I remember he's talked about once, he's like, oh, you know, this is 93, guys, this is 93, when not everyone had computers, and I feel like saying, oh, God, I feel old. But, he talked about the ending to Monkey Island 2, which was extremely a controversial ending, I would say. I don't know if we can do spoilers since the game is so very, very old.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
But essentially the Monkey Island 2 kind of had a – they woke up and it was all a dream, but then they had that little bit right at the end where it was like, oh, was it type thing. And so, yeah, apparently half the people loved it and half the people hated it. I was one of those people that loved it. And he's saying that even now he still gets hate email-y rants in the morning about the ending to Monkey Island 2. And he says, you know, he's happy with that. He would rather that than an ending that's just, you know, fluffy kittens and puppies that everybody would like, which kind of, I guess, leads on with that Mass Effect ending.
Yeah.
Where, you know,
better to have an intense reaction than people just sort of going, eh, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I must admit as well, even when I write my articles, like I know I'm writing articles sometimes that everyone will probably, well, not maybe agree with, but they're not going to go up in arms about. And then sometimes I'll write articles where I know people are going to get angry and frustrated and annoyed. And I'm sure Dave has probably received some interesting feedback. We've seen comment spreads and things like that. But I must admit, I enjoy writing those articles more, not because I'm pissing people off, but because I know that I'm challenging people and I'm frustrating them. And you know, you don't have to agree with me, but you obviously, you know, you're listening to me enough to be pissed off, or you're not listening to me enough to be pissed off. One of those two. But it was a very good thing that PAX was in Melbourne, because I think if PAX was here in Perth, I would be calling up my university right afterwards and saying, you know what, I'm changing my major. I'm not doing cyber forensics anymore. I want to do game design.
Yeah, so, two of us.
So it was – honestly, it was brilliant. And I'm pretty sure if you YouTube it, you know, Google it, you'll probably find his keynote speech. And if you do any sort of creative process, whether it is game design or writing or drawing or making costumes or just anything, and I know that everyone does something creative every single day, you know, listen to it, because it was a great, great speech. And he got to make fun of Australia as well.
That's always a good thing.
And there was a bit when he was talking about, because every time someone brings up Australia, especially Americans for some reason, they always go on about the fact that, you know, you will die if you come to Australia. So he was showing all these pictures, and then it ended with a Vegemite jar. And then he talked about how, you know, it's probably going to be that somebody will be eaten by a shark before the end of PAX. And which my friend next to me made jokes about land sharks and ha 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 ha.
Sharknado. Could have been a Sharknado.
Now, should we branch over to the Xbox event? Because I'm just aware that we're going to be running long.
Yeah, you're going to be running very long. So let's do a very brief one on the Xbox and then we'll get off PAX.
All right, I can do it in two syllables.
Well, I can do it in one.
There you go. So they showed, I mean, let's go tiny little bit longer. So they showed you the box again?
They started off with the marketing gimmick. So it was pretty much like 2 minutes of, hey, let's look at the Xbox from every conceivable angle while playing boom, boom, boom music. And then it ended with the shiny on the box. And honestly, it was like,
Yeah.
It's funny because it was poorly done, I will say that. Like, they were going for the big boom release, you know, and it just completely failed.
Yeah, it was two little spotlights shining on three small black things on the stage. Now, I was about halfway back in the hall, and it was underwhelming. I mean, we all knew what it looked like anyway, because the big shiny video that had been banging into our heads had just shown us. And then the Microsoft Australia guy, I think, did a good job of chatting away and being energized and trying to bring us with him. And then that poor fella who looked a bit like Tom Arnold from EA popped out and tried to talk up Battlefield. So that was good. That got a good reaction, didn't it, Christy?
That got, like, Battlefield and half the audience cheered. I don't know how they felt afterwards, though, because obviously they focused on the single player and not the multiplayer, and I'm pretty sure nobody plays Battlefield for the single player, and they don't really care about, you know, vocal record facial movement recordings to make the people seem real life.
No, but at least they didn't bring the dog back up. So that was probably a good move. Also, I think visitors to a country should probably avoid trying to make local analogies. So talking about something and something going together like a Tim Tam and a cup of hot cocoa.
Oh, yeah, American that was accent. Kind of like, whoa.
Yes. Lame. Oh, very lame. You're poorly advised.
He made that horrible thing about Battlefield. He said about you don't have to feel that you're giving away, you have to worry about the size of your manhood or something like that if you play on easy. And it was like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, great, you just insulted all the men and alienated all the women. And, you know, do people really give a shit if you play on easy when you play single player?
I don't think so. And am I just being cynical, or did a little part of you wonder if all of the game demos were pre-recorded?
Yes. This was, especially when the girl did Rise.
Yeah.
I mean, she just stood there. No facial expression changes. She held the controller really low. Yeah. Like, I would have thought, I would have preferred actually if they had done proper pre-recorded and said, hey, this is pre-recorded, but here, enjoy. Because I would, if you're doing a demo, a live demo of a game, you should be talking through it. Or they should have had cameras so you could see her actually playing or see her, button mashing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And talking about it, because, they just did this big spill about how awesome the controller is, and it's got this feedback in it, and it's light, it doesn't have the big heavy battery, and it's meant to be, like the next generation of a game controller while sort of looking like an old one. And, of course, during the live demos, didn't show any of that.
Yeah. Although the Kinect demo was quite impressive, they went out of their way to show the infrared so that it can see you as well as it can see you in daylight in the dark, including where your fingers are.
Yeah, it looked like it spies on you.
Yeah, and
Eric was awesome.
Yeah, Eric was good.
See, Eric is the only name I remember. That's how awesome he was.
Yeah.
But
anyway, I don't think it. It was competent, but I don't think it actually did anything to really – it didn't show anything new. It didn't do anything to convince, I think, the bulk of the audience that it was a must-have.
No.
I will just say this. Because they did it Friday, Saturday and Sunday, they did it, every day. Friday had a massive queue. And Saturday and Sunday, they were actually had spruikers out the front of the main hall going, come in and see the Xbox. So I'm sure it probably would have fitted down in Wombat, on the Saturday and the Sunday. So it looked like it didn't win people over, say that.
That's word of mouth for you.
Yeah, I've said it before, I'll say it again, their PR people ought to give themselves an uppercut.
Yep.
So,
yes. Right.
There we go. So there's a very extensive PAX roundup. So I hope you enjoyed that as much as we enjoyed being there. So we're going to very quickly just go into, I think we'll just cover Star Wars The Old Republic for the remainder of this episode because there wasn't a lot else to cover anyway that we've dug up. So let's jump into some Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
Game update 2.2.3 goes live at the time you're probably listening to this. So we're recording this Monday night, but Tuesday evening. So there's a 4-hour downtime roughly from 8 p.m. till midnight if you're on the east coast of Australia. And game update 2.2.3, which is, I'd like to pretend I've actually looked what it is, but it's not a major update, but there's definitely a whole range of bug fixes. And there is, I think, some new content, but don't quote me on that. Anyone know? Silence.
No, I don't. In all honesty,
I've been at this little thing called PAX.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in whether you can use the Tauntaun mount. As a sleeping bag.
Yeah. So that's the other big bit of news is that obviously in the community cantina tour in the US, the little thumb drives they're handing out have some nice screenshots of SWTOR characters riding Tauntaun mounts. So no one knows when they're coming. Dolphy.net had some of the screenshots, and you know, they're hypothesizing maybe game update 2.4, but we don't actually know and nothing's been confirmed. But I'm sure they'll be very popular. Now I'm gonna because I'm a total lore idiot, as you is well established on this podcast with Star Wars. But are Tauntauns meant to be, like, are they prevalent in multiple planets?
No, they're Hoth. They're a cold blooded creature.
So I'm aware of the Hoth thing. So yeah, so it's going to look a bit dumb if they're going around on Tatooine, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's a mechanic where they actually die if you take them on, if you ride them on Tatooine. Yeah, there should be.
Or you can kill them and sleep in
and
them.
Disembowel them and all that sort of stuff.
Because it'd be funny if you slept in it and then the next day it's fine.
Yeah. So that's the whole two bits of Star Wars The Old Republic. I've been playing, you know, last 2 weeks fairly solidly, so my troop is up to about to hit 35. I have ignored my main tune totally, that's at 55, and still, yeah, enjoying. I took the made the best of the XP weekends, but have continued knocking around with it sort of a little bit each evening. So, and you guys are now been busy, and I don't think you've played the last 2 weeks.
My bounty hunter is just wrapping up on Tatooine, and he's looking forward to the bounty event. So yeah, but I'm not going to have a look at it on PTS. I've done beta testing on quite enough things. I am going to let this one just wash over me and let it take me by surprise when it goes live.
Which is soon, isn't it? Well, maybe that's 2.2.3. See, we're so in the know. Maybe that is
2.2.3.
Look, I'm going to be brave here and say it is. The bounty event is 2.2.3. You heard it here first or last or something in between. All right, so apologies for the lack of actual MMO news, but yeah, PAX did dominate what we've done. We wanted to get out an episode to reflect that. We'll be back.
And we're very tired.
Exhausted.
We'll be back in sort of just under 2 weeks to do a normal show. Again, thanks to all those who provided feedback via our feedback survey and keep jumping into that. We'd love if you could rate us on iTunes. It's actually been a while. No one's given us any love on iTunes in the last maybe 12 months, actually.
Does anyone still use iTunes?
I thought
everyone had moved over to Google Play now. Being a far superior system.
So I wonder, I'll have to look into how we get the podcast on Google Play. Let us know if that would be something you would like, because I'm more than happy to have it on as many platforms as possible. But in the meantime, if you'd like to contact us, we're contact@oceanicgamer.com, twitter.com/TheOceanicGamer, same for Facebook. As Simon's Twitter handle is RPGBeatsRL, and Christy's is, you're Evil Krispy Kreme now, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So...
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Oh Lord, no. No, no, no.
Ed, we love you.
I miss you, Ed.
Yeah, I'm going to drop Ed a line because I doubt he's insane enough to still listen. So, Ed, but if for some reason you are, I'm going to send you an email. We'd love to get you back on for a show. So we'll call it quits there, guys.
Yes.
Thanks as always, and thank you for listening. And we'll be back in, I said, a little bit under 2 weeks. Bye.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.